Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Let's just dive right in. My title today is Seed Time. Seed Time. What is seed time? It's a time of sowing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And you can turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And then I'll explain why I'm wearing a lei this morning. Okay, so hallelujah. I had no plans to wear a lei this morning, but God had a plan. And you'll see how amazing God is. I believe it's prophetic today that Julie and I are going to Hawaii soon. Okay, you know. I do believe that. I'm believing for that. But I think there's something else that God is wanting to say. And the ones, Ken and Crystal Silva, who gave us these leis this morning, are from Maui, Julie and I's favorite place on the earth, is in Maui. And yeah, I said I wasn't going to explain it all, but I'm going about explaining it. But I think you'll see something that just lines up with where we're going today. So Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 is where we'll begin. Then Noah, after the flood, let me just set this up. After the flood, the skies open and the waters recede on the earth. And this is Noah's first act on the dry land. Verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for providing a lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Thank you, Father, for sowing as a seed your son, that you in return would receive a harvest of sons and daughters. Jesus, thank you for being willing to be sacrificed for us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Holy Spirit, open our eyes, our ears to receive the word implanted in our hearts. Holy Spirit, anoint me to preach the word boldly today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, I haven't fully unpacked this lei and what it all means, but there is an aroma that's coming off of this lei. This isn't one of those plastic ones. This is the real deal, okay? And even if I start sneezing through the service, I'm not taking it off, okay? Our offerings come before our God as a sweet aroma. Our sacrifices in this life come before our God as a sweet aroma. Now, it just happens that after this sacrifice and after this aroma reaches Father God, He determines in His heart, that He'll never destroy humanity again. He'll never destroy all the living creatures again. And He determines that there will always be seed time and harvest. You know, God reigns on the just and the unjust. God, our Father, the creator of the universe, allows believers and unbelievers alike to share in the blessing of seed time and harvest. Church, there's an aroma that goes before God, a sweet aroma that goes before God every time we worship Him, every time we sow into our relationship with God. Jesus said this about sowing and reaping and seed time and harvest. He said in Mark chapter 4, then Jesus said, verse 26, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground day and night. Whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows. But the person does not know how it grows. By itself, the earth produces grain. First the plant grows, then the head, and then the grain in the head. When the grain is ready, the farmer cuts it, because this is harvest time. This is harvest time. Today, let me just declare, it's seed time. Bethel, it's seed time. And we've been preparing and we've been praying and asking God what He would have us commit to sowing. Now, here's the good news. As we were going to see today, God always supplies the seed for the sower. He's not asking you to give something you don't have. He's not asking you to give something you don't have. Now, there are times that God is challenging you to believe and commit to giving something that maybe you don't have yet. But you can't give something you haven't received. By no means is God asking, or am I, or Bethel asking you to go into debt to give. No way. God will supply the seed for your sowing. Because what time is it?
Seed time.
I said, what time is it?
Seed time.
It's seed time. Amen. Now, the Bible describes many different kinds of seed. There are many different kinds of seed. And the kind of seed that you sow, just like if you sow a corn seed, a kernel of corn, you shouldn't expect to receive a harvest of wheat. Or if you plant an orange seed, that you shouldn't expect to receive a lemon. Right? So there are different kinds of seeds that we will reap a reward. Now, here's the good thing, is those seeds can be exchanged. Those seeds can be exchanged. Those seeds can lead to other things. My first time to Hawaii, I think 6 years ago, was the result of not sowing necessarily financial seeds, not sowing a seed of money, but sowing a seed of relationship, of life, of the gospel. For many years ago, and you're going to hear the testimony, this incredible testimony of God's breakthrough and his faithfulness next week as Don Ray is going to share during our celebration Sunday, our first fruits Sunday together. And you don't want to miss it. It's going to be incredible. But God brought him to our church, saved him, his son, and then his family. And we were invited because of relationship and sowing the seeds of the gospel. We were invited to go to Maui with them. That's how it was provided. Because of a seed that was sown of the gospel and the seed of us giving our time and energy. Right? Sowing into friendship. So again, let me say that we're all living in our sowing or somebody else's sowing, good or bad, right now. Let me say it again. You and I are living right now in the sowing that we have done or the sowing others have done, good or bad, right now. Because our God said this: as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. So what are the different kinds of seed? Well, one, we see in Mark 4 when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, right? And the different kinds of soil. The seed is the word of God, what we're holding. Hallelujah. Hopefully you brought your Bible to church today. Right here, this holy scripture are God's words. They're God's seeds. There's God's seeds. This is why we got to get in here to find out the different kinds of seeds that he wants to plant in your heart. And the same way he planted the gospel in your heart, the incorruptible seed of the word of God that produced a new heart and produced eternal life, God wants you to plant other seeds from his word. Amen? So the first kind of seed is God's word is like a seed. Second, our words are like seeds. If you're here for any period of time here at Bethel, you'll know how important we believe words are and how we talk. Because Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." If our words have power, how much more power when God's words become our words? When God's word changes the way we talk. Because God's word will not return void. God's words that go off of our lips will accomplish all that he had purposed them to. Amen. Our deeds or our actions are also like seeds. Galatians 6:7, which was the verse for our day 15 today, if you haven't gotten to day 15 yet of our devotional on our 21 days of greater breakthrough devotional, was Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, which says, "Make no mistake about it. God will not be mocked. For what you plant, what you sow, will always be the very thing you harvest." For what you plant What you sow will always be the very thing you harvest. Now, right now, if you don't like the harvest of your life right now, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to change it? Well, according to the scriptures, the way you change it is you sow something different. You sow something different. Amen? And as you sow something different, immediately the atmosphere changes. Your circumstance might not, but the atmosphere changes the moment you sow the right thing. When you sow to the Spirit, immediately you are going to see the atmosphere by the Spirit change. It may not immediately change the external circumstances of your life, but it has the power to change immediately the inside of you and spill out at least into the atmosphere of your circumstances. Amen? Amen. This is the truth of God's word. What are you going to sow today? What will you sow today that you may reap tomorrow? Scripture also describes people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a seed. You're a good-looking seed. You're a really good-looking seed. People are a seed. Jesus tells a story in Matthew 13, the story about the wheat and the tares, and how a farmer goes out and sows seeds of wheat, and in the middle of the night, somebody comes in and sows seeds of tares. They grow up together. God can send, or rather, the devil can send people to sow havoc into your life. Now, remember this. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. But the devil will use people to bring havoc in your life. There are moments for necessary endings. Because if you don't make those decisions, the harvest that God wants to produce can be ruined by the people in your life. Have you surrounded yourself with the right people for the right harvest? Now, the Bible also describes money is like a seed. Money is like a seed. And for the rest of the time that we have together, I want to unpack an acronym from the word seed. Money is an important thing to God. He doesn't need it, but as Don said, God wants our hearts. And if our money is not God's, then our heart truly is not God's. Because our heart will follow our money. So let's talk about how money is a seed. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge you, So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Hallelujah. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, Paul goes on, "That's why I have requested that brothers come before I do and make arrangements in advance for the substantial offering you pledged. Then it will be seen as a matter of generosity and not under pressure as something you felt forced to do." Here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in me, because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Don't eat your seed. Rather, let me say this. Don't eat all your seed. A farmer understands this. You can't eat all your seed, but you have to put aside a portion of seed for a future harvest. Yes. Amen? Amen? And then the measure that you sow seed and set aside seed is the same measure in which you're going to reap a harvest, right? So my question is, what is God speaking? What are you believing for? What kind of breakthrough? What kind of harvest? Now you go, oh, pastor, man, you're not going to go there, right? Like, you're not going to go there where all those televangelists and all those preachers, you know, they go about our money. And the answer is, yes, I am. But I'm not going to go there to manipulate you. We've been talking about sowing for weeks, and that you would go and pray to God what you should sow, what God wants you to sow. Before I get to this acronym, let me tell you what God has done, because last year, church, we sowed. We sowed above and beyond what is God's, the tithe. We sowed above and beyond. We almost reached $200,000 in the midst of a pandemic, above and beyond this year. Now, what the Lord showed me as well was our generosity reaped. It reaped in our lives and in our church a harvest. There are thousands, tens of thousands of churches that are really struggling right now. And I'm not saying they're struggling because they didn't sow. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we have not struggled. Now, many would have said, hey, Pastor, we need to start preparing for a future building because we're really growing and we should start putting money aside and maybe even do some campaigning to prepare for that future building. But that's not what God said to do. One day, yeah, we probably will, but God will provide that. But what God said is sow into people, prepare for the needs that might be coming, sow into the harvest, sow into the harvest. We've had our greatest giving year ever. We've hired 4 people. As many people have had to lay off, and I get it. It's hard. I mean, difficult things. But this year, we've gone forward. We'd advanced. Out of the rich generosity of this church, we've sown and we've seen incredible breakthrough. And God opened other doors of opportunity. And wherever there was a need this year that came before us, we were able to give every time. Every time we were able to. As God led us. Church, don't you want to be a person? Don't you want to be a person? Don't you want to be a family that can give on every occasion? That's who we are. That's what God's called us to be. The first 8 years of Bethel's existence, every year we gave almost everything away. We just never had much left because we gave it away. After 8 years, if we would have been saving and not giving to all these different ministries, we would have had plenty to build this building. Plenty. But after 8 years, and you came to us saying, we want our own place, Pastor. You know, the enemy came and said, yeah, you should have been saving, and you would have been able to do it. But the truth is, we had been saving, just not here on earth. We were saving in our heavenly account. Amen. And when time came for God to provide for this, He did abundantly, that we have zero debt and more than enough. Hallelujah. This is the kingdom way. This is the way of the kingdom. When you come to God, is there anything that you've even sown through prayer, through giving, through fasting, through giving of resources, of being friendly? Have you sown anything to make a withdrawal out of it? Do you have a heavenly account that has anything in it? Or are you only consumed about this earthly account? Because this heavenly account's not just for heaven. Jesus says very specifically, there's an account that you can store up in heaven. Let me tell you another story. When we were getting ready to plant this church, the Lord told me to start selling my houses. Many of you know I've since college, I've purchased and owned rentals and flipped houses, and the Lord's just blessed that work for me and my family. It's been wonderful. But a couple of years before we started this church, the Lord said, I want you to sell most of your homes. I had 10 homes at the time, and so I sold 8 of them. This was 2006. I didn't know what was coming or why. He just said, sell them. See, when I was 30, I prayed to God. I said, God, by the time I'm 40, I would love to be able to give $1 million away. So through the sale of that, we just gave. We just sowed into ministries and places. And I mean, I could have saved that. I could have invested that. And then comes the crash, the real estate crash. And then shortly after that, where I could have reinvested it, called the stock market, that everybody's put their trust in, it crashed. The reality, if I would have reinvested in real estate or reinvested in the stock market, it would have flown away. It would have been gone. But I promise you this, everything I sowed, everything we did is being stored up in a heavenly account that gets the greatest interest and dividends than any accounts in the universe. Amen? So seed, we got an acronym for seed. 4 points. The S stands for sow. Wow, you imagine that? The S stands for sow. 2 Corinthians 9:10. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Okay? So sow. What does God want you to sow? I don't know. Wow, that rhymes. What does he want you to sow? I don't know, but he does. And here's the good news, is he has supplied the seed for you to sow. He's not calling you to go into debt to sow. I heard this story this week about two sisters who were in a church, and they'd written a big check, and they put it in the offering, and the pastor was shown this check. It was for $1 billion. And the pastor at first thought, oh my, this is amazing. And then he's like, who wrote this? Two sisters? Who? So then he went to the sisters and said, wow, we're so blown away with your gift, your generosity. Is like this for real? Like, do you have the money to back this check? And like, oh no, Pastor. It's just if we had that money, that's what we'd like to give. Here's the truth. If they weren't faithful with what they had, if God gave them $1 billion, they wouldn't give it. You go, man, Pastor, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give so much. Just watch. Here's the truth. If you're not faithful giver now, if you're not generous now, you won't be generous then. That's not what Pastor Mike says. That's what the Bible says. If you're not a generous person now with little, you will not be generous with much unless God does a work of grace in your life to transform you. But it won't be because you all of a sudden have a lot of money. Trust me, I've written small offering checks and I've written big ones. I promise you that the big ones were a lot harder to give than the small ones. What gave me the character, what gave us the generosity to write the big ones, is because we wrote the little ones. And actually, the little ones provided the supply to do the big ones. What is God speaking to you to give? You go, Pastor, it sounds like you're kind of, you know, you're talking about give to get. No, I'm not. Give to give. Give to give. What do I mean? Give for the desire to give more. Give for the desire to give even more. Give to give. Don't give to get. Number one, sow. What are you going to sow? Don't eat all your seed. God has given you a supply. This is why we've asked you, pray. Pray about that. Pray about what he's going to provide. Now, I didn't realize we had kind of a number, Julie and I, that we're going, you know, to give, be our starting place of giving for this campaign in 10 months. And then the Lord said, didn't I already give that to you? the exact amount that we were going to begin at. This summer, one of my rentals, they had to move. They had to break the lease. They'd been there for 3 years, and normally I have my leases come due in June because that's the highest demand, but it was the end of July, and they said, we've got to leave. They're going to break the lease, and then there was this, oh, well, I've got some big deposits. It's fine. The Lord's like, release them and bless them. I'm like, oh, man, this is such a pain. I don't want to deal with this right now. But I release them. I bless them. Thank them for being great renters. Then I put it on the market. And we decide, you know what? Let's raise the rent. Let's just raise the rent. And we raise it, ridiculous amount. Like ridiculous. We just put it out there. And within 20 minutes, we had our renter. We had 50 people filling out applications. It rented in really 20 minutes. They go, I want it sight unseen. Then after we had decided on who we were going to rent, somebody comes along and says, we'll give you $500 more. They go, no, sorry, we've already rented it. But I didn't realize we thought this number, and that was the number that God actually provided this summer for us. That increase was that number. Now here's what God this week has said. He goes, I want more. Because that's not a real sacrifice. And this is what the Lord's dealing with me is, I want you to give up something you like. I know one of the things, it's not a huge sacrifice, but is Starbucks is gone for the next 10 months. Now some of you are like, oh my goodness, that's so sacrilegious, like you can't do that. Like, how can you pastor without Starbucks? But I just added that up, and that's like significant every month. And I don't know what God's speaking to you, but he's going to speak to you. Bring him a sacrifice. Even if it's like you've got more than enough, find something maybe in your life that, you know what, God, I'm going to give this up. Something I love for someone I love more. You. Number two, E. This is why we give. Eternity. The E in seed is eternity. We give for eternity. We give for eternal life. Not our eternal life, but for others. Do you know our giving produces a fruit? As Paul said, people get blessed, people get reached, people come to Jesus because of our generosity, because of the money. Do you know you probably came to Jesus because of money people gave for the gospel? People were supporting Paul in the ministry that he did. Our money has eternal significance. What we give here in this life, do you know we get rewarded in the next life? When we give our time, our talent, our treasures, they don't go unnoticed. Don't live for this life. Live for eternity. Sow your seed, because your seed is eternal if you give it to God. If you keep it yourself, it'll just have a temporary influence. But when you give it to God, he'll cause it to be shaken down, pressed down, shaken together, running over for eternity. Number three. The third E, expectancy. Expect. You go, well, I just give because it's the right thing to do. Yeah, it is the right thing to do, but expect. God's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. You're not doing it to get. You're doing it to give, but expect God's going to give you a greater capacity to give. You're blessed to be a blessing. Who doesn't want to be a bigger blessing? And how do you do that? Well, you're a blessing now with what you have and what you can do now. So God can expand you. You know, the prayer of Jabez, God, I'm blessed, but expand my tent peg so I can be a greater blessing to those around me. It's impossible to please God if you don't believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So as you give, expect. It's interesting, this aroma. I just aroma off this thing, just like power. You guys must have anointed it. The offering that came before God was a sweet aroma. After that aroma, God determined in his heart to do something wonderful. Now, here's the mystery. God knows what he's going to do. He, in his foreknowledge, he knows this. He knows if you're going to give generously. And that generous giving is an aroma before God. Let it be a sacrifice. Whatever it is, even if it's not a sacrificial amount of money, let it be a sacrifice of, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice something I love for 10 months for someone I love more. Maybe it is, I'm going to fast one day a week, and I'm going to take that one day and what I would spend on food for that one day, I'm going to commit that. I'm just helping the Holy Spirit give you some ways to think, okay? Number four, D, do it now. Do it now. Faith, what is faith? Now. Hebrews 1, now. Faith is now. It's not yesterday, it's not tomorrow, it's now. Make a decision to do it. Make the commitment. Proverbs 3:28 says, do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do it now. You know the reason God didn't accept Cain's offering and he accepted Abel's is because Cain didn't do it now. Genesis 5 or 6 says that, or 4, Genesis 4 says Cain gave it when he got around to it. It wasn't given by faith, and it wasn't first. So whatever it is, do it now. Make a commitment. We got a weekend. We're gonna give, and we're going to sow. God's going to expand us in our capacity to be able to give. And let me close with this last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 6, verse 2. God says, God says, at the right time, I heard your prayers. On the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you that the right time is now. The day of salvation is now. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day to act upon what God's telling you to do. Sow your seed when God says to sow it. Do it now. Don't wait. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. From before the foundations of the earth, Father, you had already made a decision. You did it. That you did what manifested 2,000 years ago. You chose to send your Son to redeem us, to save us, to forgive us. You sowed. And we're the result. If you're here today, you don't know God as your Father. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He invites you today. He invites you right now. Everyone in this room and everybody that's watching, our Father in heaven sent his Son to die for you and I. And today would be a great day to give your life to him, to receive eternal life, to receive his love and forgiveness. It's not complicated. It wasn't easy. It took Jesus laying down his life for you and absorbing our punishment. But today you can experience that by praying this prayer with me. If you're in this room or if you're watching online, give your life to him. Let the seed of Jesus come into your heart. that you'd be born again, that you'd be given eternal life. Would you pray this with me? Say, Jesus, I surrender my heart, the soil of my heart to you today to receive your love and your forgiveness. Jesus, I confess you are my Savior. You are my Lord. I believe you died for me and you rose again on the third day. And today I surrender my life to you. I receive your love and forgiveness today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.